Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Colossians. I'm going to read two verses from Colossians chapter 3. Now, here's my subject. Jesus Christ is all. Jesus Christ is all. Now, listen to the scripture, Colossians 3, verse 10. Paul says, "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created the new man, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Christ is all. Now, the word "all" in reference to Christ is used many times in the Scripture. Let me read you just a few. Now, listen to these Scriptures. Paul declares that Jesus Christ is all and in all. In Colossians 1, back just a little bit from that Scripture I just read, he says, "By him were all things created." All things. And again, "By him all things consist," or are held together. By him, not only were all things created, but all things in heaven and earth and under the earth, in the skies and the heavens and the firmament, are held together. And in all things he has the preeminence. And then in Ephesians 1, Paul says this, "God hath put all things under his feet." And he says he is the head over all things in the church. And he says, he filleth, Jesus Christ filleth, all in all. Now, one thing's clear from these scriptures. Jesus Christ is all and in all. Now, my question is, what does that mean? What does it mean, Jesus Christ is all and in all? Can I help you to understand what the scriptures are saying when we read Jesus Christ is all? Charles Spurgeon tells the story about a farm boy, a man, 25 or 30 years of age, who was converted. His name was Jack. And he was brought before the elders and the deacons of the church in the community for questioning before they were willing to accept him as a member of the church. And they brought poor Jack, the farm boy, who had recently been converted, in front of these elders and deacons, many of them. And the first elder asked him this question. He said, "Well, what is your experience?" And Jack replied, "I have no experience. I'm just a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all and in all." And one of the other elders asked him, said, "Well, Jack, what's your creed?" He said, "I don't even know what the word creed means, but I do know that I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all." And one of the other men asked him, "Well, Jack, what's your intentions? What are your future intentions? What do you hope to do and to be?" He said, "I don't know, but I do know this. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all." Now, there may be those who are offended by the simplicity of this statement. "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all." And someone may be offended by the simplicity of it, but I tell you this, it'd be difficult to improve upon it. And Paul's one fear for the church was this, expressed in 2 Corinthians 11:4. He said, "I fear lest Satan deceive you like he did our mother Eve and corrupt you from the what?" From the simplicity of Jesus Christ. From the simplicity and singleness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all. He's all in salvation. He's all in the Bible. He's all in redemption. He's all in eternal life. He's all in glory. He's all in the resurrection. He's all our righteousness. He's all our sanctification. He's all our wisdom. He's all our hope. He's all our life. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Christ Jesus is all. Now, let me give you an outline that Bishop J.C. Ryle preached on years ago concerning this text, Christ Jesus is all and in all. There was a time when this world as we know it had no being. There was no world. There was no seas. There's no earth. There were no trees. There was no people. This world as we know it now didn't exist. Well, if Jesus Christ is all and in all, where was he then? Well, the Word tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's where he was, with God, in the beginning. He not only was with God, but he was God. He said, I and the Father are one. And he shared the glory of God. For he prayed in John 17, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And not only that, but he was the delight of heaven. He said in Proverbs 8, I was daily his delight. Before he ever formed the dry land or the seas, I was daily his delight. Tell you something else. He was the surety of the everlasting covenant. Before there was a world, before there was a man, before there was a sinner, before there was a fall, Jesus Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There was a time when this world, as we know it now, did not exist. Yet Christ Jesus did. And at that time, as now, he was all. All right, there was a time when this world was created, secondly. There was a time when everything was created, spoken by the Word of God out of nothing. We know that the worlds were created by the Word of God. And the world and all the things we know now were created out of nothing. If Jesus Christ is all, where was he then? In that time of creation. In that time when God brought everything into being. Now, if he's all, where was he then? Well, he was the Word by which all things were made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians 1:15, the Scripture says he's the image. He's the express image. He's the exact image. He's the revelation. He's the manifestation of the invisible God. No man has seen God at any time. The Son declares him. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. So he is the express, exact image of the invisible God. Listen, Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God, and by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and by him all things were created, and by him all things were held together. And the earth is his. That's right. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world and all they that dwell therein are his. He made man in his image, after his likeness, and it all belongs to him. There was a time when there was no world. Jesus Christ was all. There was a time when the world was created. In that creation, he's all. He made man in his image. Breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living soul. It's his and the fullness thereof. All right, thirdly, there was a time when this world which he created, according to his will and his purpose, unknown to us, but known to him, there was a time when this world came under the attack of Satan and evil and sin. And the woman was deceived, and the man whom God made fell. And sin and death and darkness came upon man and came upon creation. And the world was plunged into disease and darkness, death and sin. Now, if Jesus Christ is all, where was he in that dreadful day? Where was he in that day of sin, in that day of death, in that day of darkness? I'll tell you. After the fall, God Almighty spoke to the woman who was deceived. And God said, Of the woman, I will bring forth a seed. It'll be the seed, that seed will be the seed of woman. The seed of the virgin, I'll bring forth a seed from woman that will redeem sinners. In the fullness of time, God will send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were fallen under the law and were under the curse of the law. God said that right there in that hour, there will be a woman's seed, a virgin son. He said, behold, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. And that son will be called Emmanuel, God Almighty with us. To the serpent, God said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. You're going to bruise his heel. That's the lower part of this whole body. It'll be a bruising of the heel. It'll be a bruising of his body on that cross. But that woman's seed is going to crush your power. He'll crush your head. He'll literally, completely destroy you and your kingdom. That's what God said to the serpent, to Satan. You're in for destruction. That woman's seed, who'll redeem her, will destroy you. And then to the man, God spoke and said, you're going to toil and work, labor by the sweat of your brow, earn your bread, and then you're going to die. And you're going to return to the dust from which you came. But by the seed of woman, by that woman's seed, that Emmanuel, that God with us, that holy thing, I'll give you life again. I'll raise you from the dust to life everlasting. And then he said, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth someday, wherein dwelleth righteousness. All of that was right in that moment. In that critical hour of sin and darkness and death, God spoke. And the words he spoke, the words were Jesus Christ, seed of woman, Jesus Christ, destroyer of Satan, Jesus Christ, restorer to life, Jesus Christ, redeemer of sinners, Jesus Christ, new heaven, new earth, Jesus Christ, covenant, surety, lamb, redeemer, Jesus Christ. That's the whole message of the fall. Was there'll be a restoration. All right, fourthly, there's the gospel of salvation which God has given to sinners. The gospel of His mercy. Like He said, I will be merciful, I will be gracious. But God must be merciful and gracious in a way consistent with His character. Now, you can't have a God that's not holy. You can't have a God that's not righteous. You can't have a God that's not just. God is love, and God is merciful, and God is gracious, but God is truth, and God is holy, and God is righteous. And if He shows love, it's got to be consistent with His justice. If He reveals His grace, it's got to be consistent with His righteousness. Mercy and truth have got to meet together. Righteousness and peace have got to be manifested. And so there's a gospel of salvation, the good news of redemption by His grace through a substitute. If Jesus Christ is all, where is He in that gospel? My friends, He is that gospel. That's what Paul said. Paul said when he wrote the book of Romans, when he wrote the first word of the book of Romans, he said, I'm Paul. He's writing to the church at Rome. He said, this letter is from Paul. And I'm a servant. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And I'm called to be an apostle. And I'm separated to the gospel of God concerning His Son. That's what the gospel's all about. The gospel hasn't got anything to do with what you do or what I do or what anybody else does. It has to do with who He is, who Christ is, what He did in His life and death, where He is now, and why He came. That's what the gospel has to do with Him. There are a lot of people who talk about the gospel who never preach the gospel. That's right. There are a lot of people who talk about the gospel who never preach it. If you preach the gospel, you have to preach Christ. From point one to point ten, if there are 10 points. From point one to point three, if you got 6 points, from point one to point six. If it's gospel, it has to stay on Christ. It has to be of Christ. It has to be concerning Christ. It has to glorify Christ. It has to point men to Christ. It has to have all of its blessings in Christ. He is the gospel. Are you a sinner? He came to save sinners. Are you in darkness? He's the only light. Are you lost? He came to seek and to save the lost. Are you hungry? He's the bread. Are you thirsty? He's the water. Are you weary? Come unto me. He said, I'll give you rest. Are you poor? He's the riches of God's grace. Are you under trial? He's our peace. Are you weak? He's our strength. Are you dying? He's our life. Are you in the grave? Because I live, you live. Oh, if I could... that's the essence of this whole thing. He is the gospel. We use that word gospel kind of carelessly in this day. I hear people talk about we're going to have a gospel sing. No, you're not. We're going to hear a gospel quartet. No, you're not. The gospel is Christ. When you hear Christ, you hear the gospel. If you don't hear Christ, you're not hearing any gospel. It can be as religious as you please. But unless it glorifies Christ, exalts Christ, magnifies Christ, presents Christ, and shuts men up to Christ, it is not the gospel. The gospel is concerning His Son. It has to do with His person and His work. It's all about Christ. Now, I want you to listen carefully to me. I want you to listen real carefully, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say, and I want you to remember what I'm about to say. It applies to all preachers and people in the pulpit or in the pew or wherever, religious people or otherwise. There's some bad news and good news. I want to talk a few minutes about the bad news and the good news. It has to do with this gospel that I'm preaching. The bad news and good news. Now, seven things I want you to remember. Now, you listen carefully. Here are seven important things. Here's the bad news. There's a holy God that I cannot please. That's right. There's a holy God that you and I can never please. In the flesh, no man can please God. Is that not what Scripture says? Impossible to please God in the flesh. So what am I going to do? Well, here's the good news. Christ, our Redeemer and Substitute, did please God. As our head, as our representative, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, made of a woman, made under the law, representing us, He did please God as our substitute. In fact, the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. God never had any pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices, but He had pleasure in Christ. So if I'm in Him, I'm in God's good pleasure. Secondly, there's a holy law that I can't keep. I had a fellow say to me one time, well, the Ten Commandments are enough religion for me. I said, they're too much religion for me. He said, what do you mean? I said, do you keep them? He said, well, it does get hard, doesn't it? I said, it's impossible. Impossible. The Ten Commandments have not only a fleshly application, they have a spiritual application. Christ said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. I say unto you, to hate is to be guilty of murder. You've heard it said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. Christ said, I say unto you, to lust is to be guilty already. To bear false witness is to lie. To be dissatisfied with what you have is to covet. And to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of the whole law. And the Scripture said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. It's not enough to admire the law. It's not enough to approve of the law. We're required to obey it in every jot and tittle in imagination, thought, word, and deed, and walk and talk. That's bad news, isn't it? For sure it's bad news, but here's the good news. Christ did obey the law. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And in fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. He kept it. That's good news. So if you're in Christ, you've kept the law. Then thirdly, there's a righteousness I can't produce. God requires a perfect holiness. Who shall stand in His presence? Who shall ascend into heaven? Who shall stand in His presence? This goes on all the time. Somebody will die and the newspaper comes out next day and say, well, he's in heaven. Now, hold on a minute. I hope he is. But the Scripture says, who shall ascend into heaven? Who shall stand in His holy presence? Who? The answer comes. He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, a pure heart, who has never lifted up his soul to vanity, who has never sworn deceitfully, exaggerated, or lied. Oh, maybe he's not in heaven. You're right. Maybe he's not. There's a good possibility that he's not, unless he can fulfill that righteousness. Well, you say, nobody can. That's what I'm saying. That's the bad news. But I have some good news. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them who believe. That's what the gospel says, that he came to give us that righteousness that heaven requires, that we can't produce, that God demands, that we must have. You got a perfect righteousness? Well, I'm not bad as some people. That's not what I asked. You got a perfect righteousness? Well, there are a lot of things I haven't done. That's not what I asked. Have you got a perfect righteousness? Christ said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the best man on earth, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, let me tell you, mine does. And it's not mine, it's his. He did it, he worked it out, he fulfilled it. I'm resting in him, trusting in him, looking to him. You can too, if you will. And then fourthly, here's the bad news. There's sin that I can't put away. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinned is going to die. What are we going to do? We've got sin to account for. Sin bringeth forth death. What are we going to do? Well, here's the good news. God commended his love toward us into while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. He was wounded for our sins, our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. What am I going to do? Look to Christ. He's all. He's all. He's all our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, our holiness. He's all. It's found in him. The fifth thing, there's a grave from which I can't escape. You're going to die, and I'm going to die. We're going to be buried. We're going to go back to the dust from whence we came. I asked you a question. If a man dies, shall he live again? Why don't you answer that? Shall he live again? What can you do about it? What can I do about it? What can Mama do about it? What can Dad do about it? What can the church do about it? Nothing. There's only one who has the answer. The one who arose. The one who arose. The first fruits of them that slept. The one who has the power over death, hell, and the grave. The one who said he is able. He is able to raise our vile bodies. Who is? Jesus Christ. Now you do what you want to with that. I'm telling you what the scripture says. You're bound for a 6-foot grave. And if there's no Jesus Christ, there's no way out. Now that's just all there is to it. If he doesn't have the power to bring me out, I'm going to stay there. There's a judgment before which I can't stand. That's the sixth thing. I can't pass the test. It's appointed unto men once to die after that judgment. And men are going to give an account of the things that are written in the books. And every secret thing shall be brought to light, and everything whispered in the darkness shall be shouted in the housetop. You don't want that, do you? No, preacher, no. Well, what are you going to do about it? Not anything you can do about it. Unless you have someone who can. And I know one who can. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And there's one mediator between God and men. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. He's all. He's all. He's all. And then there's a heaven, there's eternal glory. And how am I going to enter into that place? Everybody talking about heaven, he's not going there. That's what Christ said. Everybody says to me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You know who's going to be in heaven? Everybody who's like Christ. And that's what God has determined to do for all his people. They're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. God's Son. Now then, let me give you this in closing. If Christ is all, then the loss of anything in this world is really no loss at all, is it? If Christ is all, then like Jacob of old, I can say to Esau and all the rest of them, I have everything. If Jesus Christ is all, then the honors and the applause and the profits of this world won't interest me. They can't add a thing to me. I have enough. I have all. What are you going to add to me? What can you take away from me? Christ is all. If Christ is all, when death comes, like the Apostle Paul, I'll rejoice to be absent from this body and to be present with all. Christ, all and in all. Now, if you want this message, you write to me. The address will be given to you on the screen. Send $2. That's what it takes us to send it to you. Ask for the message, Christ is all. Jesus Christ is all. There'll be another message on the back of the tape, which I'll preach next Lord's Day. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.
Then sing my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You have just heard a sermon by Henry Mahan, pastor of the 13th Street Baptist Church of Ashland, Kentucky. Address all correspondence to Henry Mahan, Box 1700, Ashland, Kentucky.
I see the stars, I hear.